Welcome, dumbheads, to MDC, Mega Dumbcast. In this podcast, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Ninjas and Super Spies to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is the revised Ninjas and Super Spies 7th printing from May 2000. Today we're discussing page 75 of Ninjas and Super Spies. This page contains a couple of tables. I don't have too much to report to you about the Watercraft table. There are problems with the Watercraft. Fortunately for you, those problems are too dull to discuss today, because the other table on the page is the basic air vehicles table. And this is what I can only describe as an ascent into madness. Like, nowhere else in this book does the setting of the game get so crazy so fast. So it starts off with your basic helicopters. These are listed with their price, their SDC, the number of seats they have. So, okay, we got our helicopters. Then we move on to our conventional airplanes. Everything from the single-engine civilian airplane up to the four-engine bomber, which is like 250 grand. Still within the realm of player characters. Like, if you want to play a gadgeteer agent whose only gadget is a four-engine bomber, then that's an interesting approach to espionage, but one that one could certainly take in Ninjas and Super Spies. From there, we're on to the jet aircraft, and the first jet aircraft listed is the personal jet pack, which is a little weird. I mean, it's unexpectedly high-tech, but, you know, we did, in the game's defense, we did see a picture of someone with a jet pack earlier. In fact, we saw it on the page with the gadgeteer agent, who has a $250,000 starting equipment budget, which is the precise cost of a personal jetpack. So we now know the full story of that illustration, which is that that poor gadgeteer agent really got the shaft. She got her jetpack, but she had to spend her entire starting budget on it. So I hope she's having fun up there, because that is her character class. From there, the jet aircraft get less strange, but more expensive. So we go all the way up to the four-engine strategic bomber, which is a hell of a vehicle to bring into play in your Ninjas and Super Spies campaign. But okay, we're expanding the scope of the game. It's a three-ring circus here at Ninjas and Super Spies. There's a little something for everyone. So okay, now we're on to the high-tech vehicles. Now, we've just had a jetpack, so I'm not sure how much more high-tech we're going to get as I enter into this section. So let's see. Well, first of all, we have got another jetpack, a flying harness slash jetpack. This one only costs $30,000. It's twice as durable, it can carry four times as much weight, and it's in every way better than the other jetpack. Now, there's no mention of these high-tech vehicles being particularly inaccessible or anything like that, so I'm not sure if we're meant to think that this jetpack exists in the world along with its more primitive cousin, or if this is, you know, sort of in the same way that occasionally in a D&D handbook, they'll have, like, the little rifle section, like, if your players are real assholes and they won't play D&D unless they get to shoot guns, then here's black powder. And if they won't settle for that, then here's an M16 so you can run around blowing away orcs in a dungeon. But we understand that these are not really part of the setting. So okay, we've built a better jetpack. Next up is the flying platform slash hovercraft. This mystery vehicle costs $600,000. It's followed on the list by the hover vehicle small for $1 million and the hover vehicle large for $2 million. I have no idea what any of these vehicles are. There's no mention in the rest of the book for them, as far as I can tell. There's no pilot skill for them. For now, it's enough to note that this game has now given us three vehicles in a row on this table that I have no idea what their propulsion method is supposed to be. I mean, these are not like, you know, real-life hovercraft. They're not like, you know, floating on this cushion of air. They seem to be able to freely fly around, it seems like. But how that works, I really don't know. And what is a flying platform? And what the fuck are we supposed to get out of hover vehicles small? Can you be a little more specific? It's like saying, you know, what do I drive to work every day? Oh, it's an internal combustion vehicle, large. In any case, these things are pretty pricey. It's unlikely that your player characters will get their hands on them. And I don't know, like, I mean, $1 million is a lot of money. That's the thing. It's a lot of money for the broke-ass spies in this game, but it's not a lot of money in the grand scheme of things. So if you can get a hover vehicle for $1 million, then these ought to be around. Like, the army should be using them. Like, you should see them in the air occasionally, you know, whizzing past your house. From time to time, you're going to see Jay Leno on TV showing off his garage full of hover cars in the world of Ninjas and Super Spies. But okay, so it's a game of realistic, you know, gritty international espionage, except there are jetpacks and Jay Leno drives a flying car. Okay. From there, we go on to the orbital shuttle, which costs $500 million. That's a vital bit of data for us to have. This does mean that if you had a party that consisted of, let's say, 200 gadgeteer agents, which is high, but not unreasonable for old school gaming, the kind that Palladium caters to, you know, 200 good buddies sitting around the table, drinking beer, unable to hear each other, filling the house with a hellish heat between their bodies and the many pizzas they'll consume tonight. Just 200 gadgeteers would be able to pitch in together and spend all their money to buy an orbital shuttle for the party. Now, of course, in today's artsy-fartsy, character-driven role-playing environment, you're unlikely to have a party of 200, which means most likely if you have an orbital shuttle, it's going to have been purchased for you by an agency who wants you to use it for a specific job, and its price will be totally immaterial. I think the most likely time in a campaign that this price would actually get used is when your boss is yelling at you, "Do you know how much that shuttle cost us?" after you've managed to like crash it in a game of space chicken or used it as a projectile against an enemy base. But anyway, it's 100,000 pounds. It's got a crew of like 3 to a dozen. And obviously that's the farthest we can go, right? I mean, we're now up to ninjas in space. The setting can't get any crazier. Next up is combat fighter space. So what the fuck is this? Is this a jet? Is this another one of those hover vehicles? Only it's a hover plane this is literally a space fighter. This is a fucking X-Wing. What are we doing here? It's $800 million. There's no goddamn skill to pilot it. It's got a crew of 2 to 8. So I stand corrected. It's a Millennium Falcon. It's got 2,500 SDC. Good luck palm striking through that. If your campaign reaches this point, ninjas are pretty well fucked. We are firmly in super spy territory. So all right, after 74 pages, you spring this shit on me, and I've just discovered that Ninjas and Super Spies is a game where I give a bunch of extremely detailed technical and borderline offensive cultural skills to a martial artist or CIA operative or what have you, and then I have them jump in a fucking spaceship to go have pew-pew laser fights in orbit. Okay, I guess I was not prepared for how super these spies are. Next up, we get some character flight techniques to round out this table. The first one is the mutant animal flight power. So this is for that other staple of the spy thriller genre, mutant eagles who can fly 160 fucking miles per hour. I have no idea why they would put character flight techniques on this table, except to just pad it out so that there's not awkward white space at the bottom of the page. There's no meaningful comparison to be made here. There's no price attached to these things. They're not things you can have in this game. Every single one of them has a carrying capacity that is just whatever the character can carry based on their strength score. None of them have associated SDC, so all the things that are listed on this table don't apply to these flight techniques because they're not vehicles. It's absolutely apples and oranges. It's like having a little row at the bottom of the ground vehicles, like, okay, here's cars, here's trucks, and then in a special section here at the bottom, here's what happens if you get picked up in a tornado. Like, you know, speed depends on tornado. Carrying capacity depends on tornado. SDC, tornado SDC. At least intellectually, though, I kind of knew that Ninjas and Super Spies took place in the same world as all the superheroes and crazy shit from Heroes Unlimited. So it's not even so much this bottom section that blows my mind as the hover vehicles and the combat fighter. I want to point out that there are like space-related skills that we talked about a little bit earlier. The ability to use Veritech fighters and Destroid weapon systems, which are things from the Macross role-playing game that definitely aren't in this game's world. I want to make clear that those skills still don't apply. Those skills, as is so often the case when Palladium kind of has half an idea, they still don't really connect to the vehicles that are presented here. It's just a very strange, it's like just the barest hint of an implication that there's this mega-powered endgame of Ninjas and Super Spies where you become space ninjas and super spies and you go do space combat with space katanas. And that totally setting-breaking idea is definitely the dumbest thing on this page. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the podcast wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Ninjas and Super Spies, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Ciambietta. This slightly annoying theme song is Cartoon Battle by Kevin MacLeod, whose work you can find at Incompetech.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.